This is a great, great gospel. And praying with it this week left me with questions. Questions like, what happened? Don't you want to know what happened? Maybe I should set the stage. Jesus is watching in the temple. He's observing. And he's watching people go and give gifts, their tithes. And he sees people who give a lot. And he sits with his disciples and he watches that. And then there's this widow. And she puts in 2 pennies, the smallest amount you could give. And then he says, she gave more. She gave more than everybody else. What do you think happened? What do you think happened to her? Maybe another question is, why didn't Jesus do something? Right? Like, he knows. He never ceases being the second person of the Trinity. He's holding the world and the universe in existence while he's on earth. That's part of his prerogative as fully divine and fully human. So the second person of the Trinity sees this widow give 2 small pennies, her whole livelihood, all she has. Why doesn't he do something? Right? Like, Jesus is totally fine with making a scene in the temple. Do you remember when he makes a whip, flips over some tables? Why didn't he just go up to the treasury and grab a bunch and say, you need it more than this temple, and give it to her? Why didn't he tell his disciples, James, John, take what we have, give it to her, run her down, give her our food? Well, he wouldn't, at least in this gospel telling, because he would not deprive her of the greatest gift a human could possibly give. She comes to the temple to worship. She gives not just money, she gives her whole self, everything she is. She puts all her confidence in God. Her little pennies, her whole livelihood. She doesn't have anything else to sustain her. Well, physically, yes, but spiritually, man, she has a lot more to sustain her. Because she's like, I trust you. And so I'm going to give. And I'm going to give not just out of my surplus. I'm going to give out of my poverty. All I have, I'm giving. And Jesus wouldn't stop that. He wouldn't short-circuit that gift. Because that's the greatest gift there is. Now, who knows? Maybe we find out later. We all get to heaven. We run down this widow and track her down and like, what happened? And she might have a great story to tell. And in fact, I speculate that she does. Because I just can't see Jesus, who observes this reality and this amazing gift and this amazing trust and this amazing faith, I can't see him not doing something. But here or there, the gift is the gift. See, Jesus watches her with his disciples because she's teaching his disciples how to live. And if we pay attention tonight, she's teaching us how to live. Because God, he wants all of us. Do you remember the gospel last week? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, everything. Love him with everything. Tonight, we see a widow doing that. And her love looks like a radical act of trust. She trusts the Lord, her God, with all her heart, and with all her strength, and with all her soul. And with all her bodily needs, she trusts. Because love and trust go together, my friends. And so, Jesus watches and he says, that's the greatest gift anyone could ever give. See, he doesn't care about quantities. He cares about the quality of the gift. She gives not from her surplus. She gives from her poverty, from the very depth of who she is, radically. How do we give to the Lord? How have we come to him tonight to worship? Because, my friends, oftentimes we just give from our surplus, don't we? And I'm not talking about monetarily. I'm talking about existentially. See, all of us here, we're all incredibly, incredibly blessed. We're actually all incredibly materially wealthy, even though you're like, no, I'm in college. But if you think about it in the world, the very fact that you're at Carroll College, the very reality that you're here puts you in the 1%. It absolutely does. You have your food, you have your meals, you have your friends, you have your time here to study and to grow. We're so wealthy. My friends, wealth is not evil, but it is dangerous. And it's dangerous in this way, that in our wealth, we tend to think that we are self-sufficient. And so we numb ourselves to our deep existential need. See, the poor know their need. It's right in front of them. They can't run from it. They can't hide themselves or distract themselves from their poverty. They have to engage it and embrace it. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, it leads them to a much healthier place spiritually because they have to rely. They have to rely on the Lord. It's not an option. They don't have other options. And for us who are wealthy, oftentimes we play the game, well, yeah, I'll give God something, but it's just my surplus because I've got my plan for my life. And I have my sustainabilities, and I have my riches to depend on. If the God thing doesn't work out, I got myself. But do we really? Do we really have ourselves? Are we really all that secure? Because if you scratch beneath the surface, for even the most wealthy people, the people who have every physical need taken care of, there's an existential cry for Jesus. There's a need that's there that no amount of money could possibly provide. For us, the danger is that we play half measures with God. That we give, but we only give this much. And we don't give everything because everything is scary. I got to have my plan B's. I got to have my plan C's. And all the way down, because if the God thing doesn't work out, well, at least I can provide for me. But that's a sad place. That's a scary place. That's a place that leads to immense anxieties. And the anxieties are all around in this culture. And part of it, my friends, part of it has to do with this desire to stay in control, to be the ones who build our own lives. Jesus points out the widow in the gospel to save us from ourselves, to save us from this desire to stay in control, to be the ones who are actually in charge of our lives. That's salvation, if we learn that lesson. But that lesson requires that we are unwilling to stay with half measures. That we give, and we give not just from our surplus, but we give from the depth of our being. That we give radically. That we give even imprudently. That we give in an extreme manner. To be radical, to be even imprudent, to be extreme. Well, those aren't popular words, right? We like to play it safe, all of us. But Jesus was those things. He was radical. That word means to the root. He goes to the root of things and opens realities from there. He was imprudent. Sit the 5,000 down with their families. Bring your five loaves and two fish. What? What are we going to do? Watch what we can do. He was extreme. John 13:1 is a great verse, and it can be translated this way. Having loved those who were his own in the world, Jesus loved them to the extreme. Ad finis in Latin. To the end, to the extreme. You see, that's the love that Jesus has. It's an extreme love. It's a radical love. It's an imprudent love. It's not calculating. And he has that love for you and for me. But as the great, great St. Teresa of Avila said, love calls for love in response. And that kind of love that comes to Jesus is meant to beckon us and to call us to love in response like that. And that means we can't play it safe. That's why one of my formators in seminary, Father Christopher Hellstrom down in Denver, amazing priest, he dropped a line I've dropped here for quite a few years now. Following Jesus from a safe distance is neither safe nor is it following him. We all want to do that, don't we? I'll just give a little. I'll just give halfway. I might give 62% of the way. But that's not what the Lord's okay with. He'll never be okay with that because he wants all of me and he wants all of you so that his divine life can invade and elevate every part of you. All your talents, all your gifts, all your hopes. But listen, my friends, also all your poverties. You know, we place gifts on the altar. Spiritually, we're called to place ourselves on the altar. Yes, offer your talents. That's why it's so wonderful. You know, we have great musicians who give their talents in glory to God, and it's wonderful. And those are really good things. Some of you give your talents in other ways on this campus serving, and that's always so good. But my friends, the Lord is especially interested in your poverties. Can you give from there? Can you offer from there? Because if you offer from there, you're making a radical act of trust that God will provide. See, my friends, every vocation in the church is under crisis right now. I want you to know that. Every single vocation in the church, religious life, priesthood, and marriage, every single one. And you might be like, oh, so many people are getting married. Must be fine. Absolutely not. So many of your generation are simply not getting married, just sliding into living under the same house for a while until maybe it doesn't work out. And then they just kind of existentially move apart. Women religious. Wouldn't it be great to have women religious on this campus? Isn't their witness powerful when they were here 2 weeks ago? Priests. Do you want to grow up in a church or have your kids grow up in a church where they won't have the Eucharist or confession available? Because there are not enough priests. When I look at all of that, the reality that I see is an attack and an erosion of trust. Trust in the Lord, that the Lord provides, that his will is so very good, that he gives and gives and gives, and he doesn't take from us except only the things that keep us from real life. All of us, we have to live from a place of trust. And we have to ask for a grace to trust radically in the Lord. And so that's why I printed these off for you. And I got this litany of trust from the Sisters of Life, from the sisters who were here 2 weeks ago. And it's on their website. And I would advise every single person to pray with this and not just read it, but pray and pray hard. And if you're looking at this and you're like, man, that text is so very small, you can go to sistersoflife.org and it is free to download. And you can pull up that PDF and you can make it as big as you want it to be. The reason I picked this is because of the gospel. We have a wonderful witness of trust. That widow, man, she is praying for you, young people from heaven, to trust the Lord like she did, to know that it's okay to give your life radically to the Lord, to follow Him in a deep and powerful and profound way, that He will provide, that God is good. You see, the danger is if we don't trust the Lord, then we're suspicious of the Lord. And people are like, oh yeah, I trust the Lord. Yeah, well wait till He makes a claim on your life and then watch your reaction. Do you trust the Lord? Do you believe that He's good? We have to be delivered and we have to make acts of trust. We have to be delivered from suspicions about who God is, from fears that He's not good and He's not going to provide. And then we have to be invited to make acts of trust. You see, the remedy to a lack of trust is trust. If you want to trust God more, you have to trust God more. You have to step in to the arena and say, I will trust you with this. Even if you're afraid, even if you don't feel like you have enough, even if it seems like everything is against you, even if you're facing something very difficult in your life, externally or internally, Jesus is with you. Jesus is there for you. Jesus wants you to know that you are not alone, and He is giving you the grace that you need. And so we're invited to make radical acts of trust. And what I'd like to do to finish this homily is I'd like us to pray this together. And so I'll pray the first part, and you pray either deliver me, Jesus, or Jesus, I trust in you. And let's do this as a prayer, not just as an activity. And I want you to take this, and I want you to pray with it this week. And I want you to think about, where do I really need to trust Jesus more? Not from the surplus, not where I feel like I'm in control, not where His plan matches up with my plan, but where do I really need to trust Him? And know just how very, very good He is. Man, the Lord loves you. Man, He is worth it. Don't be afraid of Him, and don't be afraid of His will. Even when it asks everything of you. So let's pray this together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From the belief that I have to earn your love.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear that I am unlovable.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the false security that I have what it takes.
Deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute. Boy, hear that one again. From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute, deliver me, Jesus. From all suspicions of your words and promises,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the rebellion against childlike dependency on you,
deliver me, Jesus.
From refusals and reluctances in accepting your will,
deliver me, Jesus.
From anxiety about the future, from resentment or excessive preoccupation with the past, from restless self-seeking in the present moment, from disbelief in your love and presence, from the fear of being asked to give more than I have. Oh, I'll pray with that one. From the belief that my life has no meaning or worth, from the fear of what love demands, from discouragement. And now let's make acts of trust that you are continually holding me, sustaining me, loving me. Jesus, I trust in you. that your love goes deeper than my sins and failings and transforms me. That not knowing what tomorrow brings is an invitation to lean on you. That you are with me in my suffering. That my suffering, united to your own, will bear fruit in this life and in the next. That you will not leave me orphan, and that you are present in your church. That your plan is better than anything else. That you always hear me, and in your goodness always respond to me. That you give me the grace to accept forgiveness and to forgive others. That you give me the strength, all the strength I need for what is asked. That my life is a gift. That you will teach me to trust you. That you are my Lord and my God. That I am your beloved one.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.